We did actually invite the four headmasters who have served as headmasters of Eltham High School to come and say a few words to us this evening. Unfortunately, Mr. Clark, the first headmaster, is not well at the moment and has unfortunately had to withdraw. But we do have the other three headmasters who have served here, and taking them in chronological order, we start with Dr. Wheeler Robinson.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's good to be back in the London Borough of Ealing, LBE. Does that stand now for the Labour Borough of Ealing? I notice on the paper on which the authority uses, however, there still is the letters CBE. And I wonder whether that looks back to the period when it was a Conservative borough of Ealing. I was asked to come and to read, come with a reading. The question was, what was appropriate? Now, Rachel occasionally has a magazine called Elthorn Ealing, or Health and Healing, and I looked through it but found nothing very appropriate except perhaps an article on how to avoid a heart attack, and the gist of that seemed to be joining round table, being reasonably obsequious and having no radical thoughts. I also toyed with the possibility of quoting from Conservatism and Conservation, a comprehensive survey. It's a slim pamphlet with chapters on good schools, their future, build and sell, promises and politicians. My copy, however, is so mangled that I can't find any coherent passages in it to read to you. It is just about 9 years since I came to Elthorn, and 3 and a bit since I left. The years between those two dates were far from easy, with that great problem of two-site operation, which many people here will remember, its built-in instability, and the whole business of going comprehensive. An awful lot of people, parents, pupils, and staff, worked very hard to bring the school through that period. Many of them are here tonight, and I would like personally to say, as I have, I think, before, thank you all very much indeed. I can say, perhaps more openly than my two successors, and maybe more emphatically, but Elthorn never should have been closed. In my view, it was a political decision and a wrong one. Yet, I have many happy memories of Elthorn. May I speak of just two and ask a question? In 1981, many of you will remember the production of Midsummer Night's Dream in this hall. Magical. A superb group of rude mechanicals and some very fine poetic moments that led to so much in later productions. It's only one thing of many things that were going so well at that time. By contrast, Some of you will remember the headlines in the Sunday Pictorial, perhaps a year or two before that. The headline saying, "Should this Nazi be teaching black kids?" and the furore that followed that. Perhaps some of you have forgotten it. What I remember from that particular incident is the group of sixth formers from Chinese, West Indian, English and Asian families who came to see me about the teacher concern to make the point that they knew of no racism in his teaching, and then they added, which I thought was quite fantastic on their part, "Anyway, he has a right to his own opinions, hasn't he?" That tolerance in face of that attitude I thought was fantastic. One question about Elthorn remains in my mind. Can anyone help me solve it? I think there may be not enough pupils here to help, but someone might know. Who, in about 1980, scratched in very careful capitals on an exam desk in this hall the sentence, "The headmaster has sexy legs. I know because I've been to Piggott's and I've seen them." I'm always open to flattery. More seriously, we are perhaps all now too close to the sadness of Elthorn's closing, perhaps to be able to put it fully into perspective. But to conclude what I have to say, I am going to reap to quote from a letter of the poet Robert Frost, in which he says, "I have not only hopes of the future, I have hopes for the present and hopes for the past. I mean by that that I have hopes the past will be found to have been all right for what it was." Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Willie Robinson. The next headmaster of Elthorn you may have seen on television on Wednesday night. No expenses spared, Mr. Leopold.
Therefore, in that sense, I think that many of the qualities of Elthorn High School will comprehensive ideal was a good one. And when I came to Northern High School, it was the real first comprehensive in any sense that I'd come to. It was a social priority school, it had a cross-section ability, a social cross-section to some extent, and I think that what we saw there convinced us that in that school, and with great tribute to all the people who worked in the school, there was a mixture of those traditional grammar school standards, if you like, of French something, plus the social and other curricular dimensions of a comprehensive school. And it certainly reinforced in my mind that a comprehensive school system could be a success, and there we had it working very, very successfully. The other thing that ticked me, and I'm sure all of us, was that Elthorne indicated that pupils of all ability could achieve something. And if I had to judge a school on one criterion, it would be what the level of underachievement was in that school. And I think the level of underachievement in Elthorne High School was the lowest level of underachievement that I've ever experienced. And so, again, we had pupils of all abilities actually achieving something, which I think, again, was just absolutely great. The other thing was that Elthorne made the classroom the cornerstone of the whole exercise. It wasn't left-hand corridor walking or uniform, it was uniform to some extent. But the main thing of relevance was the classroom, and I saw straight away some of the finest teaching that I'd ever seen in any school that I'd been in. And again, I think that was an important message to us, to all schools, because we easily forget what we are there for. The next point, I think, was the wide concept of the curriculum that existed here. It wasn't a curriculum which was just geared to the actual academic syllabus. It was a curriculum which made other things outside school highly relevant. The sports, the drama, the music, all of the other things going on were part of that real curriculum. And that, again, those extracurricular activities, I think, especially during this period of action, we have realised more and more how significant they are, and if they're not there, how the whole soul of the school really disappears. It was at that time, of course, we saw some of the finest football we've ever seen in our lives. We've got people here who are very much responsible for that. I've been involved in football for 20 years, and I've never seen a level of football like it. And this little school in Hamwell started to produce international players, which I think is absolutely fantastic. The other thing which I think is very important was that Elthorne had a tremendous parent-school partnership. And you soon realise if you get into any school that you're never going to be successful. You're never going to be successful if you can't have a positive working relationship with the parents. We both need to depend on each other. And without going into detail, we all know the work of the parents in this school, the incredible work they did to try and save the school. The various presentations that were done, which are all now proving to be correct. Mr. Harper may not say so, but they are. And people again in this room who work day and night to make those things work. The other thing, which was significant about Elthorne was it was a whole team. It was a team, not only of teachers, but the non-teaching staff, the secretarial staff, the cleaners, who unfortunately aren't here tonight. But it was a team, and everybody felt part of that team. I think if you're going to be a successful comprehensive school again, you've got to have that all-round team. The last thing, in a sense, that Elthorne did for me was to convince me that however good you are, you cannot be complacent. And you cannot rely, even if you offer the best education in Northwest Europe, that you will survive at the end of the day. And I've certainly learnt that lesson and understood, however obnoxious the exercise is, and I think it is obnoxious, that you have to go and tell everybody how good you are if you're going to survive. Until a system changes, until we get some sort of system whereby schools are given comprehensive intake, etc., as a matter of course, then I think that we inevitably have to be involved in those sorts of exercises. I hope that at Acton High School now we have been able to help a little bit in this trauma. We certainly have L4 members now on our governing body. We certainly have a number of L4 pupils coming from this area. And we have, I think, 8 members of staff now. They all think that I've got some sort of plan to change the whole situation eventually. I think the greatest tribute to Acton High School that I hear on occasions is that in some ways it is like Elford. And when people say that, I know it doesn't mirror Elford exactly, when people say that to me, then I do get the feeling that we are perhaps on the right course. So I just finally like to thank everybody. The work's very hard for me in the short time I was here. I would have loved to have carried on the situation, seen the school develop. Perhaps one day, you never know, we might all return to this site. You never know what might happen. Thank you very much.
I hope this is going to be in English. Mr. Morris.
This is not going to be a reading from the Bible, so don't walk out immediately. It is so nice to see people that I haven't seen for possibly 10 years. It's a genuine pleasure to welcome so many people here. This week, one of the teachers from New Zealand walked in called Graham Seater. Now, some of you may well have known Graham. He came across to take some maths. In fact, I think it was Dr. Wheeler Robinson that used Graham to walk from room 12 to the science lab to see how long it would take him to do it and therefore the classes. Graham is currently in the country as a member of the New Zealand Commonwealth team as a walker. Now, no doubt you have been talking about characters we've had in the school over many, many years. Graham said to me, "What is it like, Gullin," he said, "to be a headmaster? Have you enjoyed the job?" I said, "I have." He said, "Well, what do you do all day long?" Well, I said, "I talk on the telephone. I go outside school," I hasten to add, "to meetings." But Graham, of course, was not satisfied with this. He obviously wants to be a head teacher in New Zealand. Well, I said limply, "There is the logbook." "Oh," he said, "what is that? Like the Bolgrano affair, you fill it in and then lose it." Well, I said, "No, as a matter of fact, we have a reunion, a final event next week. And I've been looking through this book, and I thought perhaps, and now is the opportunity for you to walk out if you wish, because I'm going to read one or two passages from it." At random, clearly. "Nurse attended today to examine heads." Oh, and feet. 28th of February. "Mr. McAvoy did not attend the staff meeting." 1st of March. "Had long interview with Mr. McAvoy in my room between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. 2nd of March. "Headmaster absent, ill." 14th of March, "Saw Mr. McAvoy as a result of the visit from HMIs." 15th of March, "Mr. McAvoy absent, ill." The school has always depended upon a large core of Welsh teachers. The head wrote, not me, went to the town hall to check the exit route from the new road to Wales to see how this might affect the school. 15th of April, Mr. McAvoy has been freed from taking the two forms which trouble him most. 16th of April, from now until the end of June, inspectors are likely to visit the school. 17th of April, Mr. McAvoy handed in his resignation. January 16th, all the pipes frozen after the very cold weekend. Temporary caretaker appears not to know how to stoke the furnace. January 19th, thaw has spread from the north. Caretaker has been shown several times what to do if a thaw comes. He failed. January 20th, Mr. Gosling phoned in the evening to say rooms have been flooded. Head's room has been abandoned. This looks like being a troublesome term. I could go on, and I hope I didn't embarrass anyone. The names are clearly fictitious. But the entries were not. Now, the first thing a child learns when he gets a drum is that he's never going to get another one. And so when I took on the headship, gosh, was it really 2.5 years ago? It was a very similar situation. Still, we are going out with a big bang this evening. That I've enjoyed the work is really a tribute to a remarkable staff, a wonderful team of teachers, to people like Mrs. Roberts, who taught me the meaning of amanuensis and how to arrange flowers. But our main thanks this evening must be given to the organizing committee of this event. They have met regularly during the winter under the guidance of Mrs. Pierce, Vice Chair, Jeff Lumley, Secretary, Mr. Pierce, Treasurer. There are so many people involved with this function that clearly I'm going to leave people out. Could the committee put a hand up, please, and let's give them a clap. I don't know where Mrs. Hannon is. Mrs. Hannon is with the commercial catering. Mrs. Hannon and staff, thank you so much. Mrs. Hannon has been working in the school. She has now left. She was very, very sad. Can we have a round of applause, please, for the commercial catering? Finally, may I say, we have missed Mr. Clark here this evening. He has been ill. It is a great shame that he couldn't have been here. We wish him well, a speedy recovery. Now, as the music hall says, over to you. Enjoy yourselves. Thank you.